Call Back the Past.
In 1909, Leopold II handed over the Congo state to Belgium as a colony, while the assassination of the Japanese Prince Ito by a Korean fanatic led to Japanese dictatorship in Korea. In the Middle East, the Anglo-Iranian refinery was opened at Abadan. The refinery became the center of a rift between England and Persia some 40 years later when it was nationalized by the then Persian government. And also in the Middle East, a slow immigration by Jewish pioneers to Palestine was in progress. The beginnings of the kibbutz, or collective settlement system, is evident in this recollection by Miriam Baratz.
This was 59 years ago, in 1909. 59 years. We did not know what would become of us, but one thing we knew, one for all, and all for one.
It was the time of the hobble skirts and flying pioneers and songs like this one.
Flying machines begin to fly, we never shall stay at home. Away we'll skip on a hopping trip to Paris, perhaps, or Rome.
Or fly sky high to the Isle of Skye and on to Mandalay. And finish Tibet in time to get back home to see the play. Over the vaults of wine with a cosmopolitan guide. We'll show in a homeopathical way, half the globe in half a day.
All aboard, and not the change of scene.
Though the lyrics were loaded with sarcasm over the progress of aviation, events were proving that flying had come to stay. While the world's attention was focused on the English Channel and the first cross-channel flight ever made as Louis Blériot crossed France and England in just over half an hour. The voice of Blériot.
Je suis seul. Pendant 10 minutes, je suis perdu. C'est une étrange situation que d'être seul, sans guide, sans boussole, en l'air au milieu de la Manche.
I am alone. It is strange to be alone. Unguided, without compass, in the air, in the middle of the channel. Meanwhile, back in his native France, postal workers were striking for the right to form a trade union, while the resignation of Premier Clemenceau provided for a new prime minister in Aristide Briand. There was a new head of state for America as well, as the 27th president, Howard Taft, was inaugurated. And perhaps there was, as the Sousa Band now suggests musically in this 1909 recording, a hot time in the old town that night. Ezra Pound's poetry, Gertrude Stein's first work of fiction, Three Lives, and John Buchan's Prester John were contributions to the literary scene of 1909. H.G. Wells wrote Anne Veronica and Frances Crawford, The White Sister, at a time when Americans, tired of novels about Little Lord Fauntleroy and such, started paying more attention to writers and poets who dealt with the more rugged aspects of life. Writers such as James Whitcomb Riley.
It all comes back so fair today. Though I am as bald as you are gay, out to the barn lots and down the lanes, we cutter along in the dust again, as light as the skips of the drops of the rain, out to old Abner.
The Ziegfeld Follies of 1909 burlesqued Theodore Roosevelt's hunting trip to Africa and introduced the Bathing Girls, while Blanche Ring stopped the musical The Midnight Suns with this song of 1909.
Grand, he sat within his Harlequin, and when she kissed his hand, he led her to his harem, where he had wives galore. She started shedding a tear, said he now have no fear, I'm keeping these wives here, just for only men, my dear. For I've got rings on me fingers, bells on me paws, elephants to ride upon, my little Irish roan. Come to your nabob, and on next Patrick's Day, be mistress Mumbo Jumbo Jiggybub Jay. Oh, Jay, rings on me fingers, bells on me paws, elephants to ride upon, my little Irish roan. Come to your nabob, and on next Patrick's Day, be mistress Mumbo Jumbo Jiggybub Jay. Oh, Jay.
Already in 1909, the movies were making headway with experimental color and a successful animated cartoon called Gertie the Dinosaur. The year saw the transformation by D.W. Griffiths of child star Gladys Smith into Mary Pickford, while films like The Count of Monte Cristo and the French production of Carmen proved popular. There was also a film called Big Game Hunting in Africa, which was so realistic that moviegoers refused to believe that the entire movie had been shot in the studio. With the growth of the movies, actors were becoming conscious of their need for providing for their security. One of the leading voices in this regard was British actor Cyril Maud, heard now in a 1909 speech.
I'm pleading tonight for a body of men and women who, when they were young and vigorous, started full of courage, full of belief in their own powers and in their own ultimate victory, to run in the marathon race of my profession. Gentlemen, you who have stood by and watched the race, you, the audience, who have at different times applauded their efforts, you know how heavy the track has been. You know the difficulties they have had to face. Their powers of endurance have been tried to the uttermost. The very encouragement they have received, the pats on the back, so to speak, have nearly done for them. Absurd flattery and scathing criticism alternately have elated and oppressed them, but at last they near the goal. A bad time.
The 1909 theatrical season saw handsome John Barrymore in The Fortune Hunter, while Maeterlinck's The Bluebird, Molnar's Lilium, and Galsworthy's The Silver Box had reasonable box office success. Nothing, however, compared to the success of two great musicals of the year, Lehar's The Count of Luxembourg and Oscar Strauss's The Chocolate Soldier.
Come, come, I love you.
In 1909 saw Edward VII's horse Minoru win the Derby, and punters for the year's Durban July should have guessed that the winner of that race would have been King's favourite. South Africa had success at cricket in the 1909-1910 series against England, winning three tests to England's two, thanks largely to the efforts of G.A. Faulkner and A.E. Vogler. And in the year in which the first rugby match was played at Twickenham, Londoners laughed at the Yorkshire comedy of Tom Foy.
Come in. Come in. Hello. Well, what do you want? What time? The time? The time is 9:30. 9:08. Yes. Come in. Hello. Well, what do you want now? What time is it? I just told you it was 9:30. That were when I were in the four. When you was in the four, yes.
Commander Peary at last fulfilled his ambition to reach the North Pole in 1909, the year in which Henry Ford put the world on wheels with his conveyor belt system of producing the Model T. Leo Baekeland discovered Bakelite and Carl Hoffman synthetic rubber, while radio proved its worth when an SOS, then CQD signal from the sinking SS Baltic brought rescue in the form of the White Star Liner Republic. Only 6 lives were lost and 1,500 saved. There was, of course, no radio broadcasting as yet, and the phonograph was the instrument on which songs like this one of 1909 could be heard.
By the light of the silvery moon, I loved a spoon. To my honey I'll croon love's tune. Honeymoon, keep a shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery moon.
By the light of the silvery moon, I want a spoon. To my honey I'll croon love's tune.
Honeymoon, keep a shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery
saw the beginnings of the Girl Guide movement, while the Boy Scouts had their first rally at Crystal Palace. 1909 marked the introduction of militancy in the suffragette movement, as well as some novel ideas of how to publicize the movement, as Muriel Matters now recalls, a bombing raid from an airship belonging to one Percival Spencer on the opening day of British Parliament.
It was quite a little airship, 80 feet long, and written in large letters on the gas bag were 3 words. Votes for women. We loaded up about 100 weight of leaflets. Then I climbed into the basket, Mr. Spencer joined me, and we rose into the air. It was very cold, but I got some exercise throwing the leaflets overboard. Mr. Spencer occasionally clambered out along the framework to make some adjustment. He was rather like a spider walking across its web, for the rigging was quite open, with nothing between him and the earth. And suddenly, I realized that if he fell off, I hadn't the first idea how to maneuver the airship. Not that I bothered much about that.
Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seif and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.